This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
On a regular basis when I would work there, and I wouldn't necessarily pray, but when I go up on that roof at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's pretty quiet. So I kind of found a little place of solace up there. And that was my time to go up there and just kind of, I don't know, meditate, get quiet with myself. I was finding a little bit of peace up there. That day, when he called me out and said, "You look like you're going to explode," I went to that job that day. And I'm walking up the staircase towards the roof. And as I'm getting towards that roof, I started talking to God. And my talking to God, I started yelling at God. And my yelling went to cursing. And everything in me, what he said, all that stuff, that anger, that pain, that hurt, that pride, that prejudice, everything just came out. And I just started yelling and screaming. I took out my gun. I waved it in the air. And I said, "God, if you're real and you're there, I want to know, and I want to know now." And I was basically calling God out on the roof saying, "If you don't do something, I'm going to blow my brains out. What's stopping me? What could heal me? If you're real and you're there, show me." Now, let me backtrack a little bit. I told you I grew up Catholic. I believed in Jesus, and I believed in God. I had a faith. I had a few encounters with God outside the Catholic Church, in Christian churches, in my life, some powerful ones, and where God revealed to me that I was called to serve him in ministry. And when I heard something like that, I said, "This is nuts. I'm not fit for ministry." So God always had a pulse on me and spoke to me in a way where he let me know he was there, but I just wasn't ready to surrender. So I'm on this roof and I'm yelling and screaming and cursing at God. I take out my gun and then I start questioning God. Why are people so screwed up? Why is this world so screwed up? Why am I so screwed up? Now, I didn't mention this, but I had some trauma as a kid that was buried. I had some personal stuff done to me that I never dealt with when I was young. And when I'm on this roof yelling, screaming, cursing at God, I said, "I want to know what's wrong with me, and I want to know now." And when I did that, I had my Damascus Road encounter. I'm sure you know the story in Acts chapter 9 about Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. Well, on that roof, in the middle of my rage, screaming, yelling, cursing, I was still doing it from the heart, and God knew it. My heart was desperate to know truth. My heart was desperate to be saved. I believed in God. I believed in Jesus, and I was crying out to him on that roof. It wasn't pretty. It was ugly, but I was doing it. And in that moment, all I could say is I felt like a tractor beam from heaven came around me. It paralyzed me in the moment, stopped me dead in my tracks. I felt this light, this presence. It was so powerful. I've never experienced it before, and I knew instantly it was God. And when I say I knew it was God, I knew it was God. I knew it was Jesus. I believed in God. I believed in Jesus. I just knew. And in that moment, every question that I had was answered. My fears, my insecurity, I can't explain it other than that. It was like God exposed himself to me as light. God heard my cry from my heart, and instantaneously he touched me in a way where I knew he was real, I knew he was there, and I knew he loved me instantly. And then I asked God a question. I said, "Lord, I want to know what's wrong with me." I personalized it. "I want to know what's wrong with me." And out of my own mouth, the words came out, "You were molested as a child." I said, "God, if this is true, I want another sign." The words came out of my mouth again. "You were molested as a child." I said, "God, if this is true, I want another sign." The third time, you know, Brett, the number three is significant in the Bible. We serve one God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus died. He rose again on the third day. Three significant. Peter was told to feed my sheep three times by Jesus. So the third time I asked the Lord, I want a sign. I felt the presence intensify so strongly that I was caught up in it. And then all of a sudden, and I don't know what your background is or your belief in spiritual gifts or tongues, I started speaking in a language that I never spoke before.
I believe that.
It was a supernatural language. And all I kept hearing was the word Yahweh. I was saying Yahweh and many other things over and over again. And the intensity of this time was so great, I knew that God answered me, and he answered my request, And as I'm caught up in this presence, my gun goes away, my hands go up in the air, and I'm worshiping God in this unknown language, caught up in this presence. And then all of a sudden, it stops. I mean, instantly. It just stopped. And I'm left standing up on this roof, and I'm like, what just happened? The reality of the moment hit me, and I'm like, what just happened? I didn't know what to do. And I'm standing up there, and the first thought was, I got to get out of here. I got to go home. So I run down the stairs. My mind is trying to process this whole thing. I knew it was real. It was just supernatural and overwhelming. So I run down the stairs, and I go to the front desk, and I tell the other guy doing security, I'm going home. He goes, what's the matter? I said, I got to go home. I get in my car. I drive from Harlem to Staten Island in about a half hour. I flew home. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:30 in the morning. I get home. I wake my wife up at the time, and I say, I got to talk to you. I got to tell you what just happened. She said, what happened? I told her the whole story. And when I was done, she said, no wonder why you had so much anger in you. Well, Rhett, when she said that, I let out this scream, something from the pit of my gut. I know what it is now. It was an evil spirit. Came out of my mouth. I let out a roar. It was like, rah! I felt this evil thing leave me. And then I started speaking in that unknown language again. My rational brain is saying, what is happening to me? And I'm going through this spiritual cleansing, and then it ended, and she didn't say anything else. I didn't say anything else. I said, I'm going to bed. I went to sleep. When I woke up the next day, I felt like a 1,000-pound weight was lifted off my body. I felt completely different. I didn't fully understand it, but I felt different. Not only did I feel different, I looked different. I looked in the mirror. My countenance was different. See, I didn't fully comprehend what happened, but I was delivered from demonic oppression. I was delivered from a lot of stuff in that encounter with Jesus on that roof. So now I feel great. I feel light. I feel good, but I don't understand it, and I got to go back to work. So I go to work, and instantly, people that know me are looking at me and go, Columbia, what happened to you? You look different. And I said, my only answer was this, I'm not angry. And they said, what do you mean? I said, I'm not angry. I wasn't ready to talk about that yet. I knew people would think I was nuts if I told them that. So I said, I'm not angry, you know? So I'm walking around. Now, you know, I didn't have any fights, wasn't yelling, wasn't cursing. Every word out of my mouth was the F-bomb, you know, because I had so much anger in me, I was always cursing. Walking around smiling, people looking, what the heck happened to this guy? What, he loses money? They thought I was crazier now than I was before. So, it, you know, work's done, and they want to go out to the bar, and I go to the bar, slug down some shots, have some beers. I had one beer, put it down, and I said, I'm done. And the guys that are with me there go, what's the matter with you? How come you're not drinking? What's going on? I said, I don't need to drink. They said, why? I said, I'm not angry. It's the only answer I had. I'm not angry. What do you mean? You know, I'm not angry. I don't need to drink. I drank. I was angry. The booze would calm me down and medicate me. And, you know, so I started changing. I'm talking instantly. Instant change. I went home. My wife at the time, I had a bar downstairs in my man cave. I realized I didn't need to drink this stuff anymore. So I started pouring it down the drain. My wife comes downstairs and goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm getting rid of the booze. She goes, why? I said, I'm not angry. That was my answer. She calls up her mother and goes, he's going nuts. He's pouring out all the booze. He's throwing out even the good stuff, the Shivers Regal. He's dumping it down. I got rid of all the booze. Nobody told me to do this. No priest, no pastor. I did it myself. Then I went through my particulars, my stuff, started throwing out stuff that I felt was unclean and dirty. The Holy Spirit just did an instant cleansing in me. Just clean me out and just said, get rid of everything that's dirty and toxic. You don't need it. Throw it out. So now, as you can imagine, my wife at the time is thinking I'm losing my mind. What's this guy's? He was one way. Now he's completely the other. I'm at work. They're all looking at me like I'm nuts. So I'm trying to figure out, where do I go from here? What do I do? Who do I talk to about this? Who do I tell this? So I'll never forget it. It was April 1992, 30 years ago. 30 years ago. It was a sunny Sunday morning, right around Easter time. And they put me in the car with this guy, Tim. Now, in day tours in the 9th Precinct were real quiet. Because, as you know, the freaks come out at night. Everybody's partying, doing drugs, crimes, violence. They all sleep it off in the morning. So day shifts are quiet. So they put me with this guy, Tim. Well, I didn't like Tim. Because Tim was one of those Christian guys, and Tim was a minister. He was known to be a minister. His father was the pastor of a church, and I thought he was corny. I didn't like him. So they put me with him in the car that morning. So I said, oh, I'm with him. Okay. So they put me with Tim, nice and quiet, Sunday morning. We're driving in the radio car. He says to me, do you mind if I put on a radio station? I said, no, go ahead. Put on whatever you want. He puts on this Christian radio station. This guy starts talking about his experience with God. And I'm listening to this guy. And he's almost saying word for word what happened to me. And I'm listening and I'm listening. I said, pull over right now. And he goes, what's the matter? I said, pull over. I said, I got to talk to you. I said, what that guy just said happened to me. He goes, what do you mean? I shared the whole story with him. When I was done sharing it with him, he starts laughing. And I got a little angry. I go, what are you laughing at? I said, I'm trying to figure out what happened to me. I don't know if I'm going nuts. I'm losing my mind. I feel great, but I don't understand it. And he looked at me, and he said these words to me. And the light bulb went on in my head the minute he said this. He said, you asked God what was wrong with you, didn't you? I said, yeah. He said, he told you, didn't you? Didn't he? I said, yeah. He goes, how do you feel? I said, great. Couldn't feel better. He goes, there you go. He said, you met God on that roof. And God delivered you on that roof. And
yeah, you had a mountaintop experience on a roof in New York.
Yes. Yes. So it clicked. I got it. Well, as you would think, me and him became friends, best friends. His father was a pastor. His uncle is Jim Cimbala, the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. I'm sure you're familiar with that and you've heard of it. It's a famous church. They have the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Well, anyway, once I realized I was delivered by God and he came into my life, he said, you got to read the Bible. The Bible's going to tell you everything you need to know about God. Well, I said, really? I'm going to read the Bible. I got out my Bible. I read the whole Bible in a week, the whole Bible. From front to cover. I wouldn't put it down. I was reading it and saying, this is amazing. I can't believe this. And I'm immersed in it. And he said, come on, I want to invite you to church. You got to come to my church. And as I said, I grew up Catholic, which is...
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer. And this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Pleens Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Bring your tithe and bring your shame. Bring your guilt and bring your pain. Don't you know that's not your name? You will always be much more to me. And every day I wrestle with the voices that keep telling me I'm not right. But that's alright.